Coming up on podcast 1602, Tesla recalls another million vehicles, but is it a recall? Stick around, I'll tell you more. Also on the podcast today, the Tesla CCS Combo 1 adapter finally available in the US store, EVgo launches AutoCharge Plus, and the Renault 5 Turbo 3E electric concept. Those stories and a lot more today. There are 16 stories I'd like to get through. As you can hear, I'm slightly under the weather, you know, occupational hazard of having a toddler, bringing everything home. And I thought I'll do a shorter podcast today because I still feel a bit ropey. And it doesn't seem to have worked out that way. So stick with me and see how far we get into the show. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. It's EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information for Friday, 23rd of September. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story so you don't have to. And we'll kick off with the headline story, Tesla recalling more than a million vehicles because of a flaw in their auto window reversal, where a person's fingers can get caught in the windows when they're being rolled up. Tesla says in documents posted yesterday by the safety regulators, it may not react correctly. The NHTSA said it's a violation of federal standards. This is for 2022 and previous Model 3s and some 2021 and previous Model Ys. Some Model S's and X's from 21 and 22 are affected. Owners are notified by letter. My question, though, is this really a recall when it's a software update required? And actually, if it's a software update required that just is the way the car behaves, why isn't it all of the cars? I find that curious, in that it's only certain models. I thought the software would be very similar rather than different, you know, from model year to model year. But either way, what do I know about software upgrades? But still, this will arrive in your car, but it is an official safety recall, which means it's now logged with the regulator and owners have to be notified. In the US, the adapter is finally available. This will mean you can plug in, if you're a Tesla owner, to a CCS1 plug, and it will then go from that big, chunky, pretty ugly, massive plug down to the more elegant Tesla proprietary connector. It's $250. It'll take 2 weeks to arrive, and it'll charge up to 250 kilowatts, which is really decent. Only with 3s and Ys and new S's and X's. The 3s and Ys made in 2020 and before will need a hardware upgrade so that they work with the CCS communication protocols. That will be a factory fit, or a retrofit, I should say, official retrofit from early 2023. Tesla's estimated order backlog as of the end of last month was just over 400,000 cars, and that is down significantly. In Shanghai, you can get a car in as little as a week, whereas in the US, if you want a Model X long range, it's currently saying 1 year. The Model 3 long range in the US was taken off the market because it got to over 200 days. And so it does vary wildly around the world. We'll wait and see if Tesla's order backlog is coming down. It could mean that they have some levers to pull with cheaper pricing to stimulate demand. That'd be very interesting because it's still like $47,000 to get into the cheapest. I know, that's the wrong word. It's still almost $50,000 to get into a Tesla for the bog-standard Model 3. It's a huge amount of money. Now let's talk about the battery company based in Michigan called Our Next Energy, O-N-E, or One, unveiling an anode-free lithium-ion battery. It's a prismatic cell, 240 amp hours, and they've posted the volumetric density, where it's in watt hours per litre, so 1,007 watt hours per litre, rather than the gravimetric energy density by weight. So if they haven't published that, it's probably not the massive headline, but still, they say half as expensive because of no graphic anode or the equipment to make it, and it will enable $50 per kilowatt hour at scale, which is cheap, cheaper than LFP, certainly very, very competitive pricing, but it hasn't got so many advantages, and so they will probably mate it with some sort of hybrid battery where there's both this battery, which could be used for long-term storage because it hasn't got such good energy sort of charge and discharge rates, with another type of battery in the same battery, so almost like a computer having its working RAM, which would be LFP or NMC, and then this kind of battery, which is, think a little bit more like the offboard hard drive storage, if you like. So that's an interesting way to think about it and do it. These batteries are going to be going into BMW iX's by the end of the year, not for customers, but for testing and validation. Now, this battery company have signed orders, contracts, from four big manufacturers for 25 gigawatt hours in total. So it's the real deal. Otherwise, you know, we don't always report on battery rumors and lab R&D stuff, but this seems like it's a step closer than most. Moving on. And in Germany, the transport authority there, called the KBA, You may remember, I told you they ordered Tesla to fix certain abnormalities in autopilot, but they didn't say what they were. Well, now they have. And they're saying that because in Europe you need type approval, whereas in the US you can do it and then see if it goes wrong. Here in Europe, you have to ask permission before rolling out new technology, things like that. And so that's just the way the car industry works. And it's a bit more like the aviation industry, in that it does keep our roads a little bit safer in terms of the statistics. European roads are a bit safer than US roads. That could be the reason, it might not. But still, the German authority, the KBA, said that the current level of Tesla's autopilot exceeded the scope of type approval. The permission was given to Tesla to have software that had automatic steering functions in accordance with the UN regulations, and it should only support drivers in driving function, and the driver will have full control. The functions that they say Tesla were using, which is the on-ramp and off-ramp, automatic feature, went beyond what had been assigned in the type approval, and therefore Tesla had to fix it. And that is the specifics now we know. Renault say that they are ahead on their EV partnerships. The CEO of Renault saying that they will be in control of 80% of their supply chain, their value chain, by the end of the decade. His name is Luca de Meo, and he said that the previous R&D costs were just too high. And I quote, "Our old recipes are not enough anymore. The huge investments that EVs require are not sustainable. We want to co-invest, co-develop and co-create." It's like Renault are going in with the Nissan-Mitsubishi alliance even more than they have been. Renault is pushing ahead with plans to split its EV and combustion business. I'll pop a link to Reuters in the show notes. Talking of Renault, the Renault 5, there's an old name, or Le Car, maybe, if that's how you know it. But the Renault 5 Turbo 3e is a concept, and it's wild. I'll be honest, it's a tiny electric drift car. It's replacing the turbocharged engine with two electric motors on the rear axle. You'll see it at the Paris Auto Show if you're going to go to that next month. It's got a tubular steel frame and carbon fiber body. The bumpers and sills are caricatures, basically massive, massive front splitter, huge oversized rear diffuser. The wing is enormous. You could sit on this thing. The two motors draw energy from a 42 kilowatt hour battery. They won't put it on sale because this is sort of like a wild max power, you know, caricature of a car. But blimey, does it look very, very cool. Now, Stellantis, makers of Fiat, so their Fiat 500 EV, has been hit by supply chain challenges. The low retail price means it's very popular, but they could double or even triple the Fiat 500 output, but they're constrained by semiconductors and other parts. They point out they're not constrained by battery capacity. Stellantis say, "We make 90,000 units this year, and we have an order book to fill them. The sales potential of the 500 is enormous. In the first 7 months of the year, they sold 38,000 Fiat 500s. In Italy, they're €28,000 to buy. Compare that to a Peugeot E208, and that's €35,000. The Mini Electric, €38,000, 10 grand more. That's why the Fiat 500 is so popular in some countries. EVgo are launching AutoCharge Plus. You plug in and walk away, they say. The charger will use your vehicle's unique identifier and charge your car on the EVgo app, which is how you pay. So you must have downloaded the EVgo app first. Then you have to enroll in the program. And this is not plug and charge. It's called AutoCharge Plus. That's their brand term for it. Plug and charge is another front-facing word for an official set of protocols to do with how security certificates are passed between your car and the charger and how the billing takes place. This is not plug and charge, and I can't talk to EVgo's security protocols, for instance, like how credit card details are stored and all those kind of things. This is not official plug and charge. It might be just as good, but I'm just saying it's not the official set of standards. It's something that a lot of networks are doing where they recognize your car, you've previously paid them, they can rebill you. And that's all great. And it's actually really good and it works very well. But there are certain things to remind people that this is not official plug and charge. Now, let's talk about General Motors. They're pushing EPA standards for adoption of EVs. The new EPA recommendations will accelerate the transition to EVs, they say, in the United States. New standards will include things like the innovation opt-in compliance pathway. That sounds very regulatory, doesn't it? That would reward manufacturers for innovating and speeding up EV deployment. Now, we don't know what all these new EPA recommendations are yet, They will be revealed in the autumn. As new standards are being developed, though, GM says we are pleased to join the Environmental Defence Fund to recommend how we can adopt electric vehicles faster. Pop a link to Electrek in the show notes so you can read more. Now, two quick battery stories from CATL. CATL, the world's biggest electric car battery maker, considering a third plant in Europe. No clear decision or activity has been signed off, says Matthias Zentgraf, telling Bloomberg News. They announced plans to build a second, this is the one we do know is happening, a second European battery plant, that's in Hungary, 7.3 billion euros of investment. With Mercedes-Benz, the facility has 100 gigawatt hours of output per year, and they'll supply VWs, BMW and Stellantis. That's going to be ready in the next 5 years. As for a third factory from CATL, I wouldn't be surprised at all. Or a fifth or a sixth. I missed out the fourth. CATL is also inking a deal to supply energy storage products to a company called FlexGen in the United States. They offer energy storage, and so CATL will be the battery partner of them. They do integrated storage solutions and things like utilities, power markets, and big municipal products, projects, they say. Right, coming up on the podcast very soon, we will talk about mining for materials for gigafactories and a charging manufacturer called Zaptec. They do go plug and charge, the official one. Stick around. Those stories are on the way. Staying with news of Chinese battery makers, though, Gotion is going to make battery components at a yet-to-be-constructed plant near Big Rapids in the US. Could be $3.6 billion of investment and 2,000 new jobs in West Michigan. But the officials are denying that this is happening. It's got to go through all sorts of different procedures and sign-offs, and so it's probably a delicate stage. I love this one line from the Detroit News. Check this out, and I quote, "One official in neighboring Mecosta Township told the Detroit News reporter to back off when asked about the project." Wow. That sounds like a very professional official working in that department when you tell a journalist to back off. Normally means it's happening. Otherwise, they'd be like, no, we'd love to have a battery factory here, but I don't know anything about Gotion. Whereas when an official tells a journalist to back off, yeah, that means it's happening. They're probably just doing some negotiations for things like subsidies and, you know, a bit of funding and all that. So delicate stage, I imagine. Bit tensions running high. Could be more jobs for West Michigan. It's been working to secure the future of EV manufacturing within the state in recent months after state leaders took a lot of heat when Ford announced an $11 billion mega investment with EV battery partner SK Innovation in Kentucky and Tennessee, not Michigan. EV charging operator Bump are French, and they've managed to secure a lot of financing for their business model. Check this out, see what you make of it. The company has 300 charging stations already and will ship 2,000 more by the end of next year. What they do is they fund and manage new charging stations. There's no upfront cost. They look for partners, things like retailers, malls, hotels. They handle the maintenance and operation. They stay in charge of the chargers, but then they also take a cut of the kilowatt hours charged. It can take, you know, 5 or 15 years before those stations become profitable, a bit like the way that solar panels for many years were installed. Bump will roll out 25,000 charging stations by the end of the decade and hire another 100 people after this big funding round. It's interesting, rather than trying to sell a hotel on a charger, to say, well, we'll install it, we'll run it, we'll manage it, but we'll take, I don't know, whatever, let's say 50-50 rev share. It could be obviously a different percent. And that's how they make their money back over the long term. That's a very long-term business plan. But I think all charging operators and CPOs have to have a long-term business plan right now because it's a messy business to be in with the energy crisis. Now, there's a charging station maker called Zaptec, and they've added plug and charge to the Zaptec Pro. The Zaptec Pro is a level 2 charger. It's been hardware ready, they say, for the last couple of years. Just needed the new software to enable Zaptec Pro's systems to work with plug and charge. Zaptec Pro is compatible with the full ISO 15118 standard that also enables bidirectional charging, by the way. Got a quote here from Guy, who is the MD. Guy Hayden is the MD of Zaptec. I think I've interviewed Guy before. Maybe not interviewed, just sort of chatted to with the mics, but not maybe pressed record because I forget, maybe it's a fully charged or something. and we never actually ended up filming it or recording it. Either way, a guy said, and I quote, "The introduction of plug and charge is revolutionizing EV ownership. Long gone are the hassle and headache days of apps and payment information. The best part is that Zaptec Pro units installed since 2020 are hardware compatible with plug and charge. We'll make it available to our customers across the UK." And finally, Umicore, talking about battery minerals and materials. Umicore has a carbon neutral production facility for cathode active materials. Now, it's in Poland, and the gigafactory that they've just inaugurated there will supply battery materials to their cell customers. Obviously, the cathode active materials are a crucial part of every battery cell. Annual production will be 20 gigawatt hours by the end of next year, 40 by the following year, and a potential to have 200 gigawatt hours worth of cells. But they're not that they're making the whole things there, to supply to their customers. And that's the podcast today. Sorry again for being on the Lemsip. I'm sure back to full strength over the weekend. Question of the week, taking a wee break for a while, but it will return. And thanks to our premium partners, that'll be you, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii. Derek Riley has a brilliant EV Review Island YouTube channel. Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK. Octopus Electric Universe, global public charging made so simple with one map and one app. And millbrookcottages.co.uk. That's the website. Book yourself in 5-star luxury cottages in Devon. Have a good and see you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.